Welcome to Brothers King Media, where we view heaven through the lens of art. My name is Samuel.
My name is Solly.
And today, I apologize if any of the voices get weird or distant or odd. We are actually driving because Solomon decided he needed to be somewhere tonight in a certain amount of time. So, we're going to change it up a little bit and drive while recording this. So let's hope our last recording isn't of us dying.
Sounds good to me.
Alright, so we are actually, tonight, we are continuing our discourse through the discography of David Crowder Band. And last week, we actually got to record talk about the Lime CD. A very good, I would say underrated EP. And this week, as I was saying, this week we are talking about David Crowder Band's Illuminate, their second official album through Six Step Records. And as I said before, their first really big album. It actually went gold, meaning in the US it sold 500,000 records. So, being what year did this come out, Solomon? I can't remember.
2003.
Right here's the case if you want it as well. So 2003 it came out, and this was right at the dawn of the MP3, when pirated music was really big, LimeWire, which also means record sales were going down. So the fact that they was able to sell 500,000 copies of this disc is pretty impressive in and of itself. And I think it's wholly deserving of that sales. It's a really good album. So, Solomon, let's start our discourse by talking, as always. We like to kind of update on the band members, what they were doing at this time. So, I believe this has the same band members as their first album, is that correct?
As their first album at...
Six Step,
yeah. They have all the same members as far as their previous records go. They haven't added... Mark Waldrop yet.
Yeah, he doesn't come in until Mike Solly leaves.
Jason Solly,
sorry. Now, one thing I will say about this, as far as the band members go, is particularly David Crowder. I kind of have been dogging on him a little bit, and in retrospect, I feel a little bad. He really kind of comes into his own as a songwriter on this album. This is where he kind of finds his footing in his own voice as a songwriter, not sounding so much just like a generic worship artist. So I feel like his songwriting has greatly improved by the time we get to this album.
I feel the same on this. I feel the same about the songwriting aspect. Honestly, the only thing that I feel is different in this album comparing to previous is they do a whole lot more of their own writing, which is, you know, a good thing. They don't do as many covers. There's technically only two covers, and one of them is a...
Three covers.
Three covers. Which three would those be? Yeah, they're all, like, all creatures.
Number two, which they did number
one. Revolutionary Love? No. Part two of All Creatures, because they did number one in the previous album.
And then the other one that they covered was the two songs right there at the end, Before Stars. What is that?
Heaven Came Down, which they had covered in that last EP. As well, and then Glorious Day.
Yes, that was actually written by I want to say it was someone Marsh. I read it in the credits earlier. I'm
okay,
right now, so I can't look at it. But they were. It was written by.
Trying to see if I can find it here.
A husband wife duo or a brother sister duo, some combination thereof. A girl and a guy with the same last name. I'll say that.
Kind of like sons and daughters.
Sure. Anyhow, so, and then So really nothing's changed as far as membership of the band. Next up, we have the producers, which they actually had, what was it, four producers on this album?
They had the David Crowder band itself did the main producing. Charlie Peacock,
which I don't know if I meant, I did mention it last week. I'm a big fan of Charlie Peacock. He is actually very, he does a lot of jazz recordings, believe it or not. But he also founded Switchfoot, founded Rethink Records, etc. So he's done a lot.
Well, he founded Rethink Records and discovered Switchfoot.
Discovered Switchfoot,
right.
Yes.
Mitch Watkins as well produced.
And he was the producer for All I Can Say.
Right. Okay, here we go. Actually, they have... Okay, I just figured out the star system here. David Crowder Band did producing in all of them. Charlie Peacock...
Production is the word.
Production in all of them. Charlie Peacock helped produce Revolutionary Love, Oh Praise Him, No One Like You, and... It looks like Stars.
Cool.
Mitch Watkins helped produce.
Let me take a guess. Did he do Intoxicating?
Yep.
Because that's just his sound. Continue.
He did Intoxicating and Stars. Then that brings us to our fourth producer, Zach Lind.
Who I looked it up. He's actually the drummer. He was the drummer at the time. I don't know if he still is because I don't keep up with them. But at the time, he was the drummer for Jimmy Eat World, who, for those that don't know, they were a huge emo band back in the day. If nothing else, you've probably heard the song In the Middle. And so he was the drummer, and apparently a fan of the band, enough to come and produce for them.
And as well, he only produced How Great.
How Great?
Right.
He also
Which wasn't the one we thought that he produced.
But he does drum on one.
Does drums on, is it Oh Praise Him?
I think he does drums on No One Like You. You'd have to look inside the booklet to see.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. This one, yes. Okay, yeah, he does. He plays drums on No One Like You.
Does it say that specifically on the back?
Yes.
Okay. So, the production's a bit more diverse this time, which I think, like you said earlier, Solomon, probably the biggest thing is they had more of their hand in the production, and it really helped take it away from that generic worship sound.
Right.
That they suffered from in their first album.
And then, as executive producers, Louis Giglio comes back, and Brad O'Donnell as well.
And I have no idea who Brad O'Donnell is. Maybe we'll potentially remember to look him up later. I don't know.
And as we have said before, Louis Giglio does a lot of work with Chris Tomlin and some other worship artists, but mainly Chris Tomlin.
Six Step Records is his record label, which I looked it up, actually. Chris Tomlin is technically not on Six Step Records anymore. He's on just Sparrow Records.
Sparrow Records.
Which, I think Six Step Records is just a subsidiary of Sparrow Records.
But I believe still. So. One way or the other. It's just that or vice versa.
It's funny that he's no longer on Six Step Records. I just found that interesting.
He made it to the seventh step.
So really, that's all to say about production. And I will, before we get too much further, I will jump on something we haven't talked about up to this point. Artwork. I really like the artwork for this album.
As well. Same. Love it.
So the album's title is Illuminate. So of course they have a light bulb hanging there. And we mentioned last week or the week before how very intelligent these guys are. And so if you actually look inside the booklet, there is a lot of math everywhere.
Right, like, yeah, I don't even want to read it because it hurts my brain.
There is, well, all the math is in regards, it's real math. I've checked out some of it, I feel like. It's all in regards to basically the way light theory and stuff, how light plays across stuff and how much light is given. And they actually have like a little note in there. And what does it say?
This one right here?
Yeah, that little note.
It says, "This shows us simply that the closer an object is to the light source, the more illuminated it will be." Very Christian-y sermonette-y. Which they are a very, very Christian band, as we all know.
But I like the idea of using math to talk about God.
Right.
It's a very nerdy thing.
Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "By Christ all things consist." So, therefore you find him in everything.
Indeed. So, that's the... that's all, I guess, unless you have something to say about the book. I like the album artwork, and I'll probably get more into the album artwork as time progresses.
The artwork, actually, I like the artwork. Yeah, I just can't read it or understand it. So, it looks very cool, is all I can really say, but it hurts my face. And then also, when you go to read the lyric pages, it kind of hurts too, because they got it. I feel like I'm dyslexic or lexistic. I don't know what it is, but anyway. Sparks Fly, Revolutionary Love. Do we want to talk about the songs individually?
To a degree. We don't usually, I try not to focus too much on each individual song, but we will maybe like hit on a few high points. So, the album opens up with Sparks Fly.
Literally a two-line little intro.
But I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's Words and Music by David Crowder.
Yes, I mean, really, if you look at it, David Crowder wrote a lot of this album.
Right.
Which is why I said, I think he really just kind of came into his own as a songwriter on this album. This had a lot more of his fingerprints on it than I originally thought. So kudos to him for, even though he is not necessarily, I think he is far better with the band portion of David Crowder. Kudos to him as a songwriter for pulling off a really good album.
Before we get too deep into the songs, though, why don't we just give credit to where credit is due? We're talking about how much we like the album art. So the photography of the album art was by Dan Winters. The creative direction of it was by Jan Cook, and art direction and design by, I want to say, Benji Peck.
Never heard of any of them. Maybe we'll see their names pop up later. I don't know.
Possibly. But just wanted to give credit where credit was due.
So the first song, Revolutionary Love, was never like a huge hit or anything. It's honestly an enjoyable song. I like that they open up with a technically more experimental song. I do like that aspect a lot. And this one was written by... I know B-Wack wrote on it.
David Crowder, Jack Parker, and B-Wack. Or Jeremy Bush.
Yes, and you can hear B-Wack's fingerprints on it, because he tends to... A lot of the electronic.
Techno... Technotronic rockica. I don't know what that word is. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, so... That one... open up before we get to the next song after that is the very popular I would almost say if it wasn't for a fact if they had never done How He Loves, this would be their signature song, and it kind of is, simply for the sake of it is what they named their greatest hits album after.
Is that really, that's true? Well, actually, we could say that this is their greatest, or what is it called? What did you just call it?
Greatest hits?
No. What did you just call this song?
Their signature song.
Well, you're right, if not for How He Loves, but How He Loves was just a cover.
Yeah, but it's still what they became really known for.
Right.
Especially in their later years.
Right. As far...
So, what... I'm sorry. I gotta remember the name of the song. Oh, yeah. All This For A King.
Oh, Praise Him. All This For A King.
Yes. Very good song. I like it as a worship song. It's just slightly outside of the normal worship song box. And it has a nice little difference to it.
My favorite, honestly, my favorite part of this song is how simple the chorus is. Literally, like, three lines. Well, two lines, actually. You know, both repeated, you know. Oh, praise him, he is holy, he is holy. Like, it's just simple, but I feel like the music in this song really gives it that, it makes it feel like it's more than just two lines.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I never realized that it was only two lines. So, that I think is really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And then, unless you have something else to say about that song, moving on. Next up is another personal favorite from this album. I mean, really, half this album is my favorite. Like I said, I consider it a very good album. It's one of my favorites just to throw in and listen to. So, I also listen to While I'm Praying sometimes. It's just, it's that diverse of an album. So, the next up is the interlude for Open Skies, which, nothing special, it's just cool sounding.
Right.
And then Open Skies itself, I do like that song a lot. I like it better than All of Us for a King, honestly. It's just a good song. It has some very good lyrics in it. I like I'm trying to remember because I can't obviously read and drive at the same time. It's something along the lines of
the verse? Or
the chorus. What's the chorus?
The chorus says, praise him under open skies, everything breathing, praising God. In the company of all who love the King, I will dance, I will sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud, lift my voice and shout. From where I am, from where I've been, he's been there with me. He's built a monument, his very people. So let his people sing, sing, sing.
I like that. That's just really good lyrics. I like the line of all in the company of all those who love the King. It's in our worship music, we really. A lot of church and worship is community. That's what really a lot of church and worship boils down to, is community. And I think it's kind of cool to bring that up in a song because it's not done too often. Usually worship is very vertical, just me to God, and or just about me, or etc. So it's kind of cool to bring into a worship song something speaking about the community that worship brings. And I like that a lot.
And actually, I just read the first verse. The chorus still has that same line in it, but the chorus is just the four lines. Praise him under open skies, everything breathing, praising God in the company of all who love the King. That's the chorus. My apologies. First verse is pretty great too, though.
I don't normally go song by song, but just the songs are kind of worth talking about. Next up is, it's my second favorite song on the album. It would be number one if not for the track after it, or two tracks after it. I believe the next one is Intoxicating. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
I love Intoxicating.
It's intoxicating.
It is. It's also their first foray into the epic rocking genre. It's it's like a 7-minute long song.
Yeah, it is. And let's take a minute and discuss the chorus here. La, la-di-da. La-di-da, di-da, di-da-da-da. Hey, la, la-di-da. La-di-da, di-da, di-da, di-da.
It's so
very
catchy.
Deep. Very deep. It's catchy. It really is.
Well, the verses, like, now you're not doing it justice. The first verse has some really cool lines in it.
Right. You want me to go ahead and read that to them?
Like, sure.
Intoxicating you are to me. Illuminating you are to see.
Title drop.
Right. Truly breathtaking you are to breathe. Sending my head swimming you are, you see.
And then in one line they go, inebriating you are to
me. Yeah, inebriating you are to me.
And I just think that's so cool.
Very, very big words in here. Very, very 12th grade-ish.
Well, that's not 12th grade. I mean, that's maybe 7th, 8th grade words.
Well, you're discrediting them, so I'll give you it.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's not like that complex.
Right.
It's not words you hear in a normal worship song.
Yeah, right. The, you know, normal worship songs is very
simple. La 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 di da da.
Yeah, like, you don't sing that in worship music. That, like, I'm sure some people would be like, oh, this is Satan music if that you start singing la la di da in worship service. There's some old people probably flip out over that, man.
But beyond that, I also just like the, like I said, it's a rock opera song with acoustic guitars, and I love the extended parts of it. It's just, it's like I said, a really great song.
Now, yeah, the very end, the end tag, it's more like a bridge. If I'm out of my mind, it's you, cause I'm crazy in love with you. Inebriated by you, because I'm head over heels for you. And I mean, simple
but effective.
But effective, right? Simple but effective.
Oh, so that's all I have to say about that song. Do you have anything else?
Not really.
Okay, and then honestly, the next song, like I said, the album works together pretty well, but the next song just doesn't stick in my head too well.
How great?
I think so.
Yeah, it's How Great.
It has a cool first line. I'm so tired of little gods.
I'm so bored of little gods while standing on the edge of something large. While standing here so close to you, we could be consumed. What a glorious day.
Which I like that first line. But other than that, the rest of the song doesn't stick out. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good song. It stays in that same alternative acoustic rock.
Yeah.
That's what I would describe this album as.
Yeah, it's acoustic rock.
It's very, like, there's electric guitars in it and a lot of electronics, but acoustic is the dominating instrument.
Right. Rocktronica.
No, that's a church music.
Oh, okay. Right. This is acoustatronica.
Maybe?
I don't know.
So, I would say it has a lot of that indie flair of their very first album.
I mean, they did do a lot of the production of this their selves. So, you know, rightfully so. It sounds indie, rightfully so.
And then we have my favorite track. And I will... So, story time. The next track is No One Like You. First off, it's a very punk rock song. I mean, as much punk rock as they ever get. And, man, this song, I don't know exactly when it came out, quite honestly. I mean, I don't know how old I was when I first heard it, because I don't think I heard it the year it came out.
Well, it came out in 2003.
Well, yeah, but I don't think I heard it.
I would have been two.
I would have been 12 by that point.
No, I would have been three, almost four by
so
that point.
So, I don't think I heard it until I was 14.
Right, but it came out September of 2003, so I was four. So that makes you...
I was 12.
You're 12, yeah.
So I don't think I heard this when it first came out. So when I did hear it, that's why I was getting to my story. Our older brother had went to Louisiana to intern at a church for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months or something.
It was 3 months, yeah.
And down there, their youth group apparently did No One Like You as a worship song a lot. And it was like their little worship anthem down there. So he came back up in here. He's like, oh, this song's really good. You should buy the CD. So he conned 12-year-old me, because I think I mowed a yard or something and got some money, and got me to buy the CD. And I hated the CD. Thought it was awful. I loved No One Like You. I thought that was the best song ever. Disliked the rest of the song, album. The rest of it, I was like, not that good. I don't know why. Well, I know why. I was really into, like, my favorite band at the time was probably Newsboys. So, these guys, well, not the polar opposite of Newsboys, they're a pretty good distance from the Newsboys sound. So, I honestly didn't pay attention to the album. Eventually, I kind of let it just, like, get scratched up and et cetera, et cetera. And I listened to it off and on throughout the years, but never paid a whole lot of attention. And then later down the road, I don't know what brought me to the conclusion, But later down the road, I decided David Crowder Band was, like, my favorite band ever. And decided to go ahead and... No, it was when I saw... I don't know why, when, where, what. For whatever reason, I decided to buy all their albums and love them thereafter. But that wasn't until, like, 4 or 5 years later. So there's my story behind No One Like You. It's still, to this day, one of my all-time favorite songs.
Interesting. That was very interesting, but deep stuff, man.
Not really.
Not really.
As for the song itself, I mean, honestly, it's nothing too deep. It's not philosophically deep. It was written by the whole entire band.
Right.
And it's just a fun song to listen to, honestly.
It is. It's a very fun song to listen to.
Like,
it makes you want to, I don't know, feel like, I don't know, just you want to jump 24/7, then you feel really, really fat because you can't jump.
Something like that. I like that song a lot. So, okay, I'm done gushing over and talking about my personal history, because I'm sure all three of you that listen to this just really wanted to hear my personal history.
We love you, Mom, because you're one of them. Maybe. Does she even listen to it?
I don't know.
I know she shares it on her Facebook every time we put them up. Wow, so we might be getting more listeners than we know.
I don't know. If you do listen to this, please let us know. Leave a comment somewhere. We'll get to that all at the end.
We don't even care if it's hate mail. Just let us know. Hope you hate it. No.
Oh, man. So after that song, I believe it's... What's after
just
that?
Just the reprise.
And then it's All Creatures, right?
Then All Creatures Part 2.
And quite honestly, this is... where I get hung up a lot on this album. I still think it's an amazing album. But I feel like after All Creatures feels like an end. Like, if I could have my way, if I could, like, rewrite this album, I would take out the two songs after All Creatures and let it end with Heaven Come Down and Stars.
I mean... Yeah, it would make I feel like it would make the album more...
Cohesive.
Yeah, cohesive. Yeah. Good word. Where'd you learn that?
I was homeschooled.
Oh, me too, but I never learned it.
So, but that's not to say the songs after it are bad, per se. What's the song called after All Creatures Number 2?
Sorry. Like I said, this thing's confusing. So I'm trying to figure... Okay, Only You.
Only You. That one was actually written by a lot of the band members. I was looking on there and it had, like, Hogan writing it, Mike D, and I forget who else.
It would be... I should have worn my glasses, but... Yeah, it was Crowder. It was Dodson, which... Okay. Okay, David Crowder, Mike D, Jason Solly... Mike Hogan, looks like B-Wack's the only one who didn't, write on this one.
Or Parker.
Okay. So B-Wack and Parker.
It's kind of cool to see some Jason Solly credits on there, though, before he went.
Right.
I mean, he didn't, like, die or anything. He just left the band.
Yeah, before he passed away to a different band.
Before he, went to the...
Other side.
No, I was gonna say the home for retired guitarists.
Pretty sure that's Heaven. Because see, there's perfect people, then there's guitarists.
So, and then we get our second epic rocking song, which just doesn't stick in my mind nowhere near as well as Intoxicating.
Deliver Me.
Deliver Me. Which, who was that written by?
Hold on. I'm trying to... Having technical difficulties. Stupid air conditioner of this car. It keeps blowing my paper away. John Marsh and Helen Marsh.
Which I don't know who they are, but kudos to them. I'll have to look them up
sometime. I could be wrong, but I feel like that they are sons and daughters. I don't know. I'm not sure, but that sounds... familiar.
That'd be funny if that was all sons and daughter.
Yeah. Then later on they become all sons and daughters.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
So it's not a bad song. It just makes the album feel too long in the end. And I'll get to that in a minute. But it's overall, it's not a bad song by any means.
Right.
And it still fits very well with the sound of this album. And then we end on another personal favorite, which, like I said, it's half this album. But I really like Stars. It's a beautiful ending.
Well, you skipped 13 and 14 and 15. Well, 13 is called Coming Toward, which sounds like it was just music written by David Crowder Band.
It was. It was just.
So it was just a musical interlude. It was an outro.
It was an outro for.
Is it an outro for Deliver Me, or is it an intro for Heaven Come Down?
Maybe it was both.
Ooh.
I think because it kind of fits perfectly between the two songs.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like it's an outro for one, intro for the other. Which kudos for creativity there. It's pretty cool.
So then that leads us to Heaven Came Down,
which, as we said last week, very good song. I enjoyed it. Lot.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't bad. I liked it.
I liked it better on the Lime CD than I did this. Once again, nothing personal. It just makes the back half of this album feels like it's dragging out so much.
Yeah, and also they did it more acoustic-esque on the Lime CD.
Well, that was the demo version is why.
Well, that makes sense then. And then that brings us to Glorious Day. Which... again, is just a simple, very simple, three lines. Wow, three lines. And again, words and music by David Crowder. So... Glorious Day simply just says, what a glorious day, what a wonderful day today, glorious day.
Yeah, which then takes us... more of like an outro, intro thing again.
Oh, gotcha. Well, then that leads us to Stars. It doesn't... It's more of an outro, possibly. But, which leads us to Stars, which I feel is both of our favorite on this album.
It's not my favorite song on this album, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's... I wouldn't say it was my favorite. I like pretty much all of their acoustic, more acoustic songs anyway. But this is a very good song. And this one was written, both words and music, by David Crowder. This song, honestly, I feel like the reason why it grabs my attention so much is, you know, this song's called Illuminate, you know, dealing with light, stars, light, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the song itself is very, it illuminates on God. And not to be cliche, but illuminates on God, I feel like, to me. Because, like, in the beginning, it's kind of like one of those songs about nature. It's like, you should see the stars tonight, how they shimmer, shine so bright, against the black they look so white. And then it goes, you know, you should see the moon in flight cutting across the misty sky, softly dancing in sunshine. Which, that, you know, in itself, I've heard interviews, you know, them asking, hey, you know, what is Stars about? Blah, blah, you know, what do the verses mean? You know, because, you know, they're very creative verses. They sound very cool. But anyway, you know, I forget if it was David Crowder or if it was Mike D or Jack Parker, because those are the three that usually do the interviews. But they said, I forget what they said about the first verse, honestly. But they said, you know, the second verse, you should see the moon in flight cutting down across the misty sky, softly dancing in sunshine, reflection of its light, reach me now. But it was talking about how the church is like the moon and, you know, reflecting the light of the sun, you know, on the world, being, you know, which that, you know, very preachy. And so that leads us to the third verse. Well, we're going to say the chorus, because it goes, and how could such a thing shine its light on me and make everything beautiful again? Third verse, another simple one. You should see you should feel the sun in spring coming out from the rain, Suddenly All Is Green, Sunshine on Everything, I Can Feel It Now. But that's not really what I want to point at, because it goes from that nature aspect to more of a personal, like, I don't want to say religious, because that just, it's not like religious in the sense of preaching. It's more of a, what is it called when you compare one thing to another thing?
Metaphor?
Maybe. It's like a compare and contrast. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe a metaphor. But anyway, it says, and you should hear the angels sing, all gathered around their king, more beautiful than anything, than you could dream. I've been quietly listening. You can hear them now. I hear them now. And then it says, and how can such a king shine its light on me, his light on me, and make everything beautiful again? And then that's just honestly my favorite part of this album. I feel like just it ends on a good note. It ends on a really I don't know, it feels like a personal song. When they're singing it, it feels like something you're saying to God himself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That may be just me, but that's just kind of my little rant. It's my little story. You very put nice. Yours in. Yours was more interesting. Mine is very,
okay, yeah, very nice.
Anyway.
So let's go ahead and just jump into our final segment here. Sorry if I sound a bit shaky. We just about ran out of gas, and I get panicky if the gas light gets low.
Yeah, he's a scaredy cat.
I just don't want to be stuck on the side of the road. I mean, that's how all the bad movies start.
Yes, exactly right. Especially by a creepy candle factory.
That is weird. Yeah. Anyhow, so let's all give right. it our rating, our traditional 9 point rating. So for lyrics, I don't know if I just think the lyrics were so vastly improved over last time, or like, what did I give the lyrics last time? A 1 maybe?
Maybe.
I can't remember. I know I gave them a bit low, because the lyrics never struck me as anything special. Here, I give the lyrics a solid 2. Almost a 3. I can't decide if I want to give it a 3 or not. So I'm going to stick with my gut reaction and go 2.
All right.
3 for music. I find the music on this album incredible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love it a lot.
100%.
And then I give it another 2 for the album experience. I almost want to, once again, I'm like tempted to give it a 3.
But we don't want to be biased.
Well, the problem is, it just drags out too much in the end to be able to wholeheartedly say this album holds up perfectly as a piece of work. I would listen to it a million more times because I love it, but someone just coming in to listen to this for the first time would be like, hey, this has some really great stuff in the beginning, and then it just keeps going and going
and going.
And it's not bad. The songs are so good, but it's just too long to be perfect.
Right.
So that brings my final score up to 7 out of potential 9, the highest we've given any David Crowder Band album yet, any album on this
it's
podcast.
Been 4.5 so far.
So fives, 4.5 and a 5, I think is what we had.
I think it was actually a 4 and a 5, 4.5. I don't know if we've gotten up to a 5 yet.
No, the very first album, I gave a 5.
Oh yeah, okay, we're talking, okay. Yeah, alright, if we're talking individually, but usually we like meet in the middle of our...
Oh, true.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll have to listen to those again and hear what we have. Maybe it is like just a 4 and a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I've been rating them pretty low, but tonight we'll probably have one of the highest ones so far.
I give this a 7, a very, very strong 7. Almost want to round it up to 8. But, well, you know what? I will. I will give it an additional 0.5 for the lyrics, an additional 0.5 for how it holds up overall together. And I will settle on an 8.
All right. Well, so, all right.
So wow, what do you got?
Giant leap here since last rating. Mm-hmm. As you said, music, phenomenal. 100%. It was the greatest. I'm going to give it a 3.
For music, okay.
Very strong 3 for music. Lyrically, man. Oh, man. I'll probably leave it at just 2. Okay, no. I mean, lyrically, I'm going to have to give it a 1.5.
Only a 1.5.
I don't...
And we gushed over a lot of lyrics, but at the end of the day, the lyrics are still very simple.
Yeah, they're still
the
very,
most you can
very
say
simple.
About if you compare this to every album ever, not just worship music. Like if you compare it to worship music, it's perfect.
Right.
But if you compare it to every album ever, it's
mediocre.
It's not even, well, no, I wouldn't say mediocre. That sounds bad. But it's just barely a step above.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's about even, you know.
Right.
So I see where you're going.
So I want to give it a 1.5. Cause like honestly, I wasn't impressed like by the lyrics themselves. Very good songs. Not gonna take any credit away from that. As the record holds up, you know, to itself, I would give it. I'll give it a 2. I'd say that it holds up pretty well. You know, with the exception of the very end, those few songs in there that
aren't bad. They
aren't
slow
bad,
down.
But they slow down the record and the album. They slow down the album. And honestly, I maybe they had a reason. Maybe they had a, you know, a good reason they put them in there. But I don't see a point in them being there.
Now, I know it ends, the time, the way the time ends is some, once again, some increment of 7.
Right.
I just forget what it is.
Right, so they may have that may be their reasoning. Maybe they're like, "Oh, let's just throw these in. People liked them." Nah, okay, you know, to each their own. But I'm just saying, I'll give it a 2 for.
So that gives you 6.5. Are you going to go
no,
up or down?
That does not give me a 6.5.
Oh, what does that give you?
That gives me a 5.5.
Okay, you said 3 for music.
Oh, 3 for music. Yeah, 3 for music. 2. Yeah, it's a 6.5. All right.
So are you going to go up or down on that? Round up or down?
Oh, man. I hate doing this because I don't feel like it is good enough to round up, but then again, I don't feel like it's bad enough to round down.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
The only problem is if we try to meet in the middle now, we're
right,
because
it's going
to
be like, it's going to be like, yeah, we give it a 4 1/4 star.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna have to round it down. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to round it down.
Okay, so that gives it a 5, like you said.
Right.
So I said 8. You said 5.
So
in
about
the middle is
6.5.
6.5, which is still not bad.
Not bad.
I think it's as far as like an acoustic work goes, it's a masterwork. It's not quite their masterwork, and it's not Christian music's masterwork. It's not even like, you know, music in general's masterwork, but it's a very good album. And this is what I was talking about with their, All I Can Say. If they did essentially take what was best, worked best about All I Can Say and what worked best about Can You Hear Us and combined it,
right.
Essentially.
Right.
And they did it very well.
And as well, I was thinking just now about, you know, this album and this album is actually the album that introduced me to David Crowder Band. You introduced David Crowder Band to me. I didn't like them. I didn't think I liked them. And then you were like, just listen to this album because I think you'll like it. And that is actually how I, you know, started liking the Crowder Band. So, you know, I think it goes from brothers. You know, Simon told you about it, and you told me about it, so...
There you go.
Maybe that's just the way it works.
All right, so there's our thoughts on Illuminate. Join us next time, at least with me and Solomon, where we will be talking about the follow-up EP, Sunset and Sushi.
Ooh, I could go for some sushi right now, actually.
So we also want to throw in how to contact us for all whoever's out there listening. We'd love to hear from you. It'd mean the world to us. So you can email us at brotherskingmusic@zoho.com. Once again, that's brothers with a S, King, K-I-N-G, Music, M-U-S-I-C, at ZOHO.com. You can also check us out on Tumblr, Brothers King Media.
And Instagram.
Well, brothersKingMedia.tumblr.com.
Right, right. And then our Instagram user is brothersKing_media.
And hopefully, Solomon, you'll start posting some stuff to our social media. We're going to try and revive. We have an old Facebook site that we're going to try and revamp a little bit and start putting stuff on that. So we'll give that to you when we see it. In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from people. In the meantime, and that is all for today. So I am Samuel.
And I'm Solly.
Rock on.